So what do you get when you tie a fundamentalist Christian and a Wiccan together? Essence of Ex-Lax in the drapes, a cat with rigor mortis, and six clogged up dust devils. You're listening to The Inner Side.
A leisure service of the Pacifica Foundation. This and all previous broadcasts can be heard from the internets. Simply Google The Inner Side.
I opened at the White Swan. So,
you
which
play your stuff?
Well, I'm only playing the opener because it was the only thing I could clean up enough for radio. And by the way, if you're wondering why I'm doing Mexican jokes, it's a Mexican bar. So when I opened, I thought I'd find out where I was first and if I was safe. And hey, it turns out I was. And then we're gonna have some Doug Stanhope coming up. Doug Stanhope's gonna be in Houston, and I will be announcing times and places for Doug. Right after this. This is my exit strategy. You know, if I start bombing, I'll just light myself on fire and start screaming for a while. I fantasy that. It'd be awesome. Thought maybe I'd tell some Mexican jokes. White people have the best racist jokes because they come from the heart, you know? You ain't gonna get pissed off, right? You ain't gonna throw any of them things at me? You know what I'm talking about? What are those things anyway? They're like cylinders, and you can light them, throw them. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know. It's just the only people I've seen use it, they're Mexicans and Italians have them, and they're like they sell them in all the stores around here. They're like cylinders, they're glass, and they got like Jesus painted on them, and you light them. You know what I'm talking about? What are those things? Candles? That's a cynical euphemism for a hand grenade. What the dude? How could me a light a candle on your ass, bitch? Damn. That's hardcore. I thought Jesus was on there because he's seen it coming through the window. You better start praying, man. So what are they for? For church? So you take them in church? All right. Okay, that makes sense. So let me get this straight. So you take these things to church and light them and throw them at each other? Damn. It's like, get down in front, man, with that hat. I can't see Jesus. I'm trying to see Jesus. But it's Catholic church, right? Yeah, they give away free wine and throw it. That sounds like fun. A little dangerous. Mexican joke. That's right, Mexican joke. This is a homegrown Houston Mexican joke. This comes from the 70s and 80s when all the Yankees came down for the jobs and all the Mexicans came up and we're all working together building houses that are all falling apart now because nobody knew what they were doing. Like 1,000 people a day moving in. And so the people that were here this week are just building the houses for the people that are coming 3 weeks from now and so on. I mean, what could go wrong with that economic model? I mean, a little Mexican kid came up from Oaxaca or Michoacan or one of those places that they name after marijuana down there. Nice little kid, you know. Country boy from Mexico. And he'd been there while he's working with us and finally got enough money to bring his little girlfriend up. So he brings her in town. They get married in a little church. Go to Denny's for the honeymoon. He's back at work the next day. So, hey, dude, all right. Jose, man. Hey, how many times you f***ed your wife last night, man? Did you find this? Oh, man, 3 times. It's not bad. So this became a running joke. Like, every day he comes back. But every time he comes back, it's like more and more times. Like 7 times, man. 20 times, 37 times, we're like, whoa, dude, how are you fucking your wife 37 times and still coming to work? So we're like this, man. We're like this. Uno, dos, tres. All right, coming up right now, some Doug Stanhope. This is from the DVD, No Refunds. Doug Stanhope's going to be in town. So here's some Stanhope for you. It's been censored, but you might want to turn the radio off and make sure the kids are watching South Park because you don't want them to be. You know.
I'm going to be smoking through this whole set. Because it's one of the loopholes in the law. They keep in the smoking beds, if it's part of a theatrical production,
a loophole in the law because they don't want to fuck up some Tennessee Williams production and ruin the integrity of the show. So they leave this loophole open for me. If the cigarette bothers you because you're envious, vote next time. How about that? Vote. Yeah, every now and then. Figure out what's going on in your community. No, you don't vote. You got shit to do. Leave it to old people with breathing problems who will never come here. This whole generation is so unbelievably sad. If you're just getting to, like, partying age, you're fucked. There's nothing going on in this country anymore. It's done. Last call. It's just a suck generation. It's the most boring generation in the history of people. It's all dumbed down and watered. When's the last time you heard stories about rock and roll bands chucking TVs out of hotel windows or any of that that used to be fun? Like, there was fun in the world. Some of this is going to make me sound like a grumpy old f**k, and I am, but I have just cause. There's nothing. As people get older, the older you get, the more bitchy you get. Because that's just natural. The more jaded you get. But I think we're going to be the first generation of old people. As soon as someone gets old, they complain about the new kids. And, oh, these kids today, look, they're crazy. It's always that the new generation was too deviant. These kids are out of control. They're crazy. They're immoral. Look at what they're doing. In our day, if we wanted fun, we just went to a barn dance. And we didn't even finger till we were like 35 years old. But these kids today, it was always that the new generation was over the top. And we're going to be the first generation of elderly people complaining, but in the opposite fashion, where we're going, look at these kids today. We used to do crank off of tea dancers. And no one got hurt. We had a lot of fun. We got some good stories and herpes out of the deal. It was a fucking good time. The blisters bring me back. These pussies, they drink a Red Bull for some pep, and they'd prefer if you went on the patio for a cigarette. And the closest they come to a fist fight is on a message board somewhere. You looking at my girl? I'm gonna delete you from my MySpace, friend. You got some block user in your future. They're about to start testing for adrenaline in the workplace. That's how sad this country's getting. Now, shaking your urine in front of you. Is that yours, Donnie? It looks a little cloudy. Have you been having fun on the weekend? Are we not enough fun for you here at the Verizon Wireless family? You need to seek it elsewhere? I don't think you're a team player. That's why I love hearing people go, oh, that town, that's like 20 years behind the times, that place. Book me there. I had fun 20 years ago. But I can still smoke indoors? Oh, I got ecstasy, still pure, uncut, and readily available? Oh, what cavemen they must be. The only drugs that are even popular anymore, all that dummy drugs, all the drugs that make you more boring, all the mood stabilizer, antidepressant, everyone's got some mental disorder they've been diagnosed with and they take a pill. They push them on me all the time. I get ruined so many relationships because I think all the time. Sorry. Oh, geez. It's ADD. No, it's not ADD. I'm thinking. I'm thinking about a lot of stuff. It's not ADD. Yeah, I stutter a lot, but that's because I'm always thinking, well, you're not listening to me. Because I'm thinking about something that's more interesting than you. I'm trying to build a perfect utopian society in my head. And what are you talking to me about? Bowling or what? I do. I have a head that won't shut up. So where do the ideas come from? Do you have a head like that? Do you have the brain that just won't shut the fuck up all the time? You learn to work with it. Did you ever try to do this? I tried this in July in Tucson, Arizona, and failed miserably. Did you ever try to sleep sober? You ever try to do that? That's completely impossible. I tried. I got a meeting at 6:30 in the morning. I got a flight to L.A. for a meeting, so I'm trying to be responsible. And I'm just laying there in the hotel. No people or conversation, no distractions, sober, and no television, just your head on a pillow. 1 a.m., 2 a.m., you mother... Because that's when the carnival kicks into high gear. You're almost 40 years old, you loser. How long are you going to do this? How long are you just going to get drunk and amuse feds for a living? Well, there must be something that rhymes with orange, lorange, smarange, orange. As music is playing in there and it always sucks. We didn't start the fire. Shut up! I'm going to go to bed! 3 more hours! I'm going to sleep! And my ex-wife is in there. You never took me to the botanical garden. It was always about you, you megalomaniac. You never cared. I was dying of loneliness. It was always better to the world. Shut the fuck up! I'm going to sleep! Well, I'm not taking medication for it. That's also where the ideas come from. I'll just pour some alcohol on that when it happens and try to even it out. You work with your problems. Everyone's taking pills just because they're afraid of standing out. I was terrified when my doctor told me that I had a unique and interesting personality trait. But then he told me about new Zoloft and Prozac, and I just take 3 pills a day and I blend into this horrible inbred corporate landscape, and I don't care. They'll legalize any drug so long as that drug keeps you producing. That's all they give a shit about is production. You're kicking out enough boxes at the plant? Well, go. Whatever keeps you doing that. Keeps you vaguely content sitting in a cubicle. Go ahead, FDA approved. I have a job where I alphabetize insurance forms 45 hours a week, and I noticed I couldn't concentrate so well on my job, so my doctor put me on Adderall, and now I can just breeze through my workday. I don't even notice that my empty life is being away underneath fluorescent tubes. I have no highs or lows. I have no good stories. But I'm getting a lot of stuff done. Look at me produce. I just go A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, B, You don't ever take a pill for that. You're not concentrating because that's boring, and that's a natural reaction to boring. Don't concentrate. Find another way. You're going to make a living. You get bills to pay. Spin around the brass pole a few times. Whatever. Say you saw the Virgin Mary in a grilled cheese sandwich and sell it on eBay. There's a grift in the system. There's always a scam. You don't have to do it just because your guidance counselor told you you'd excel at it. I'm over. This country is so bereft of imagination anymore. Those pills probably have a lot to do with it. At least black people knew when they were slaves. You remain clueless.
Yeah, same now. You get a lot of work done.
Hard work is fine if it's a work of passion, but just to work hard to buy shit to impress people, you're a loser. An empty vessel. Hard work, if it's hard work that you do for free. Hard work, if it's a work of passion, you're working at learning how to play the acoustic guitar, or you're trying to find my prostate when we're on ecstasy or something, that's a work of passion. Sure, go. Dig in. Root around. You know? Just to work hard. Awful.
You worked hard to get where you are.
No, I didn't. I drank, smoked, and did drugs to get where I'm at. I'm not glorifying... I ain't trying to build it up, but it really is responsible for where I am. I haven't ever tried very hard. I'm here because drugs expanded my imagination and made me think outside of your reality, and cigarettes gave me the patience to sit and write those thoughts down in a comedy-friendly format that you could understand, and the alcohol gives me the courage to stand up here in front of you judgmental pricks and do it with $250,000 worth of cameras in your face. didn't work hard for the show. I am ill prepared. There are people here from the first show, and you know, wow, that's a lot of different material. Yeah, just membered. Right? I didn't want to try hard for this show because I didn't want to send the wrong message to the kids who might be watching at home. Oh, to work hard. Dummy, you die at the end. Did anyone tell you? Sorry. That's the alcohol. But it makes me funnier. That's why I'm drinking. Ironically, I'm drinking to be more professional. Because I'm funnier when I'm drunk. I really am. 17 years. I have AA friends that I've had for lifelong friends that all of them have had to eventually cave in and admit that I'm funny when I'm drunk. It kills them. It's like they have to deny their own religion to admit it. Like, all right, you're fucking... That was a good show. I know you're ripped, but... Doug, you have a serious problem, and you make jokes about it. That's how you deal with it. But I've been in the program for a long time. If you ever want someone to talk to, but don't quit tonight, though. We have tickets for the late show. But, you know, we've seen you sober. It's a stuttering, awkward wreck with no self-confidence. But tomorrow, if you'd like to talk to me, I'm up at 6 a.m. Fuck you. I'm horrified. Have an AA guy tell you to your face, he's supposed to be the know-it-all, and he tells you that your career is dependent on your disease? Kind of a scary proposition. It's like having your psychiatrist tell you that not only are the voices in your head real, but they're accurate as well. So I should kill the babysitter? I'm afraid so. Yeah. Hey, I'm pouring more funny down my head. Pipe down. Jesus died for your sins. I'm doing it for your mere entertainment dollar. That's far more admirable. Jesus never made you laugh. Never once. You never worked all week stacking pants at the Banana Republic or whatever you do and rushed home on Friday night and dressed up to rummage through the Bible to see what crazy antics your slapstick savior was up to this week. He never made you laugh. He was a mythical, boring, unfunny fucking I love you more. Now watch me jack off. That's not even a regular tagline. Kind of detracts from the whole purpose of this joke. But the... Why would you... I don't even understand the connection. Die for your sins. What is how you? He died for your sins. Well, how does one affect the other? I hit myself in the foot with a shovel for your mortgage. What? I don't understand the. And if there is a correlation, why would you do that? Why would you die for someone's sins? Your sins are the only interesting thing about you, dreary, bleak motherfuckers. Your sins are what make you fantastic. That's what keeps us great and exciting and fun. That's what makes you alive, man. You should wear your sins on your sleeve. You should be trying to top your sins on a daily basis. When you go to work in the morning, the first thing out of your mouth tomorrow morning at work should be the dirtiest you did tonight, because that's what people want to hear. It makes you, right? You tell me a story, hypothetically, you tell me a story about what a good Christian kid you are and how that good book has filled you with some effervescent, loving light of Jesus that shines out of every pore in your squash. You're walking on sunshine because of the Lord. At the same time, you keep the story going real loud. At the same time, you tell me a story about that one time you f***ed a girl with cerebral palsy. And we'll see who draws a crowd. Even your make-believe slapstick Jesus on a stick would have to walk away from you right now. Oh, that's very nice. I pray for you too, but I really want to hear this. Start over! You did what? Was she into it? Oh my God. What kind of industrial lubricant do you... I can't believe I died for these stories. These stories are fascinating. Anybody who defines themselves solely on their race or their religion or their nationality, if that's the first thing out of your mouth, what are you all about? If that's the first thing on your MySpace page, well, I'm an Irish-American, what the fuck is that? Well, you got nothing else. Community college and something else, but you use that trivia because you got nothing to say. Useless. Kind of out of not in this set. I mean, I have some stuff I put on paper, but in the long term, I think I'm out of cannibalizing my own. 17 years. What else do you have to say? If I die soon, don't ever say I died too young. Every time an artist dies young, I got like 9 more days before I'm 40. If I still have that 3 in front of my number, maybe they'll say I died young. If I had the 4, died early perhaps. Died not as late as he could have. But every time an artist dies young, like Kurt Cobain or whatever, there's always the people, it's so sad. He had so much more to give. How do you know? Maybe he was out of How do you know? He's done. He got all the money, he did all the drugs, and that's the American dream. And when you're done with that, you go, oh, that's why they call it a dream. It's bullshit. I'm still empty. And he cashed out. Maybe, how do you know what any artist had left? How do you know if Jimi Hendrix hadn't have died, he wouldn't have wound up doing Super Bowl halftime duets with Elton John right now. Rocket Man. You're going, this is tragic. Why didn't that guy die? He was my hero. I don't want to see this. I'm pathetic. How do you know if Lenny Bruce hadn't have died, he wouldn't have wound up taking over Andy Rooney's spot at the end of 60 Minutes? Just some crusty old with wiry eyebrows bitching about ATM fees and a cluttered death. Well, you know, maybe he's out of. I have no children. If I don't have a child. Maybe I'd feel differently if I did. Well, would you have kids? I don't know. I know I've had an abortion. With my wife, and it's been 5 years probably now. I just want to say, still a great decision. Every Roe v. Wade anti-abortion rally that comes out, they'll find some crying from a trailer park and put her behind a podium and pat her back so she gets attention. And you go, I regret it to this day. I had an abortion because I was in a lot of trouble, and I wish I had that baby back about us. We don't agree on much, my wife and I, but we agree that was the best decision we ever made. Still, 5-year anniversary, glad we killed the baby. 5 years later, still glad, still happy, no guilt, no regret. Have a lot of regrets about how I handled the relationships, but never, the baby never brought up. Just saying, in case you ever come to that point where, oh, regret it down the line. We haven't. You don't hear that side of the story. Just saying. I got this anti-abortion flyer that they were sticking them under everyone's windshield wiper in the parking lot of this place in Texas, and it had a picture of a dead fetus on the front. You know how the pro-life folk are so fond of the dead fetus photo on a placard, and they bring it down to their protest rally and they shove it in your face at 9:30 in the morning. Abortion does right there. Don't you turn away. This is abortion. You're like, I'm just going to the ATM. I'm not going in this place. I'm just clear the sidewalk, lady. I'm hungover. I'm going to barf anyway. But they do that. The idea is that picture is supposed to be so disturbing and so disgusting that it will single-handedly change your whole view of the abortion issue, as though live childbirth were really pretty to look at when that living monster is actually ripping out of you. It's all covered in blood and mucus and sputums flying everywhere, and they're screaming. You're screaming. Everybody's screaming. Your husband's vomiting through a surgical mask while trying to maintain a comforting eye contact. Oh, yeah, you put a picture of that under my windshield wiper. I'll frame it and put it over the piano. That's adorable. It's a little sweetheart. But this little peaceful, freeze-dried, aborted fella laying all nighttime on a comfy pillow next to a ruler, he's disgusting. Oh, shame be that. Like I said, I've had an abortion. I've been party to an abortion. So, and we don't know what became of it. When we had an abortion, we just shuffled out the front door. We didn't tag its ear or keep in touch, track it on a GPS system, you know, pen pals. No, we've left. So if I see a picture of an aborted fetus, there's a part of you that's got to wonder a little bit. Hey. Stevie, anything? Really like it all? Come on. Come on, there's a little bit. I think he's got my scowl. If you've had an abortion, it really makes the whole idea, the whole concept of heaven a lot more disconcerting. If you've had an abortion, as irrational or illogical as that idea is, it's depressing to think about. If there were a heaven and that you fought through the white light and got up to the pearly gates, that'd be the first dead relative waiting for you there, all angry and pinch-faced. Oh, look who's here. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, took your time, didn't you? Yeah. Looked like you were having a lot of fun down there. Yeah. You know, they took pictures of me. They took pictures of me. Like me next to a ruler, for Christ's sake. Would you know my name?
Doug Stanhope. From his No Refunds DVD, Doug Stanhope is going to be in Houston November 9th at the Houston Improv. So definitely check him out. This has been the Inner Side Radio Program. My name's Scooter, and I'll see y'all next week.
Down with disease, 3 weeks in my bed, trying to stop these demons that keep dancing in my head. Down with disease, and I'm up before the dawn, 1,000 barefoot children outside, dancing on my lawn. It's time to leave it all behind.